from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
First memory of my childhood watching Giants baseball was Will Clark rocketing a grand slam at Wrigley Field in the playoffs to go to the World Series in 1989. And Will Clark joins us on the River Islands guest line. All guests on 95.7 Game up here on the River Islands guest line. Is it a time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? And boy, I gotta say, Will, man, that podcast you got going on with Eric Burns, the clips I see, I just chuckle. I watch them over and over and over again. It's letting it fly, Will. Good morning to you, buddy.
Good morning, gentlemen. How y'all doing today?
Oh, man, we're doing great, man. We're doing great, especially finally getting a win here, man. I mean, wow, those first three games against the Braves. So we'll get to that. Obviously, salvaging the game yesterday with a great start by Logan Webb. But the Bay Bridge Series, it'll be the last time we see this between the Oakland A's and the San Francisco Giants. Obviously, they're moving up to Sacramento. And, you know, when we talk A's, Will, I'm so desensitized from everything that's happening with that organization. And I know maybe you're so affiliated with the Giants, but when I think of the A's, I just think of sadness. What a sad situation for them, Will.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. You know, I mean, you know, not only, you know, the great teams that they had in the 80s, you know, with McGuire, Canseco, Eckersley, Dave Smith, Ricky Henderson, I mean, guys like that. But then you go back to the earlier generations with, you know, Reggie, Vita Blue, Sal yep. Bando, Joe Rudy, you know, people like that. And you just shake your head as to, you know, that organization was so great for such a long period of time. And then to move out of the Bay, it's just kind of disheartening.
Yeah. Yeah. Will, I'm watching these Giants this year, and it's like the approaches with runners in scoring position are baffling. I mean, the amount of times I see a guy at third base with less than two outs. And no, like
he's already laughing.
No,
he knows.
Because Will,
he knows.
Like I grew up in an era, and I know that you can relate to this, where my dad would say, like, you just have to put it in play to the right side. And no matter what, you gotta, you choke up, get wide, like two strike approach from the beginning of the at bat, put the ball in play, get this run home. Is this an organizational thing? Is this a baseball, like a modern baseball thing? Because it's driving me insane watching this team fail to execute. Like, these are simple, basic fundamentals. And it's, I know I'm preaching to the choir here. It really bugs me.
Well, as a guy who made his mark driving in runs and driving in crucial runs, yeah, it drives me crazy too, especially, you know, working for the organization and having, you know, worked with most of these guys. You know, it's just, you know, when you're in those crucial situations of a game, you have to trust yourself. You have to trust, hey, look, I did the work on the field. You know, I did the batting practice and all that. I know what's coming because I've been paying attention to the game, and you have to trust yourself and stick with it. And like you said, kind of put the ball in play. It's not that hard. It's a lot of common sense. The first off, you know, you pay attention to the game. If a guy's throwing a 2-1 slider, well, you go, I'm going to look for a 2-1 slider. You know, you don't look for a fastball in that situation. And, you know, these are the kind of things that, you know, when I go work with the guys, you know, that we talk about, and, you know, they kind of understand it, but then when they get on the field, they I guess you want to say, for lack of a better term, they don't trust themselves, and they go back to whatever they wanted to do before. Yeah. And, yeah, for me personally, you know, it's kind of baffling. And it's not only, you know, a San Francisco Giant thing. It's a baseball thing. Yeah. You know, I mean, I see it. I see it all the way through when I watch some of the other teams, you know, that we're playing against and we're pitching against. It's like, how did he not look for that pitch right there? You know, I mean, so, you know, when I go watch a major league game now, I mean, I literally can call, I don't know, 85% of the pitches, and I haven't hit in 25 years, and I know what's coming. So.
That's unbelievable. Will Clark, of course, is number 22. He was retired with the Giants last year. Wall of Fame, of course, six-time All-Star. Here on the Morning Rush on the River Islands guest line. So these approaches and these youngsters. Look, I hear the conversation, Will, that big-time hitters don't want to come play in this ballpark. But yet I see these road teams come in, and they're hitting the ball out the yard with no problem. And I'm thinking to myself, what the hell is going on here? We can't find a power hitter to save our lives. So if you can't find a power hitter, I think the approach is just the way the lineup is constructed. What about getting some speed, Will? Let's get some guys who can go first to home. Some guys who go first to third. The lack of attention to the athleticism within the lineup, that drives me crazy because you're one of the worst teams in baseball when it comes to stealing bases.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, you know, the lack of speed is starting to be addressed. I mean, if you look at, like, Tyler Fitzgerald, he can run. Grant Gray, who we just called up, he can run really well. So, you know, and Matt Chapman is an above-average runner, you know, even though nobody really realizes it. So, I mean, you know, we're starting to get more speed in the lineup. We're starting to get more athleticism. And, you know, it'll make for, you know, a better team, you know, down the road. And then not only that, open up some avenues for Bob Melvin to, you know, to run and do stuff like, you know, the bunt base hit that Grant had yesterday and, you know, stuff like that. So, but yeah, I mean, you know, if you go around our minor league situation that we have right now, you're starting to see more athleticism. We've got guys on the lower levels. I've seen one of our teams on the lower levels, and we got guys that not only can hit a little bit, they can run, and they put pressure on the defense. And I really like it. So those guys will be coming, you know, down the pipe here in the next few years.
Will, you brought up the minor leagues. You opened the door for me. All right, look, I'm a sick individual. I watch a lot of just videos of the prospects. You don't get a great feel because these are highlights. They're never you never see a guy striking out or failing to execute with a runner at third base or booting a ball or anything like that. But I'm watching Bryce Eldridge, and I heard that you were working with him. And it's just highlight after highlight after highlight, and the power, just his stature at the plate, the swing, the ability to go all the way. I mean, from what I've seen, he just looks different from anything that the Giants have ever really had. You've had an opportunity to work with him. Is that's what I've heard?
Yeah, I definitely worked with Bryce. You know, he was drafted as a pitcher and a position player, but he didn't really have a position in the Giants. At first put him in the outfield, and he didn't particularly care for that. Now they moved him at first. And so I've been working with him, you know, around the bag at first, and then had a chance to watch his at bats. And, you know, without a shadow of a doubt, he will be a major leaguer. He's got that presence. Like you said, he can hit the ball all over the ballpark with power. Matter of fact, probably left center is his best power. Yeah, I mean, he's getting it. He's definitely getting it. But, you know, he's also one of those kids that, you know, he's a high school guy, and now he's facing, you know, 90-something every day, and he's getting used to it and getting used to playing every day and in the grind of, you know, professional baseball. So, you know, he will make it to the major leagues, just a question of when. But he's already, you know, jumped two leagues. I mean, he started in Arizona and he went to San Jose. He's in San Jose literally not even half a year. Now he's in Eugene, which is high A, making the adjustment there.
Well, your thoughts on Marco Luciano? You know, he gets called up after Soler gets traded to the Atlanta Braves, and they wanted to open up at bats. Then he doesn't play for a week. gets about 21 at-bats. Do you think he should have been given more of a leeway to kind of get some at-bats here to play a little bit more? Or is he just not ready to play at this level, Will?
Marco, if you...
Hold on, Will. We're going to get a better line. You're cut out there. We'll get Will. Let's make sure we get a better line for him because he was about to get into that. Marco Luciano. I bet you Will probably wasn't happy about him not busting down the first baseline the other night. Sorry, that one.
The Bryce Eldridge thing. I know that most people have never heard of him that are listening to us right now, but him saying he will be in the... like, he was like definitive with that. I mean, that makes me feel really good. Really good about him. I know. Years away. I told you. I think he's gonna.
We got Will back. All right, Will. Go ahead. We cut off for a second there. Will, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm having some fun. You know what I was saying, Marco Luciano. You know, if you look at history, he's had kind of an injury-filled career. He really had played a full year, and so he needs to play every day. And you know, coming up to the major leagues and, you know, sitting, playing, and then also just basically being a DH. That wasn't, you know, kind of what kind of player he is. So he needs to play every day. And kind of what I was saying with Eldridge. I mean, you know, he needs to play every day and play a full season and learn how to get through a full season without getting hurt.
Yeah. What's your make on the adjustments that Tyler Fitzgerald has made? I mean, he came up earlier this year. I mean, we saw glimpses of him last year, and I was like, oh, man, maybe he could be like a utility type of a Chris Taylor or Kiki Hernandez type of a player. And then now he's playing shortstop. He's doing a pretty good job at shortstop right now. But the power, I mean, anything up and in, he's just crushing right now. What adjustments have you seen him make?
Well, I've been a big proponent of Tyler Fitzgerald for a few years. You know, he's a big kid. He's 6'4". You know, like you mentioned, he does have a lot of raw power. We talked about it before. He's got speed. He can play multiple positions, you know, which is good. You can move guys around if you need to. And, yeah, I mean, you know, it was one of those things. He just needed a chance. And he's getting his chance now, and you guys are seeing what he can do. One thing about Tyler Fitzgerald, because I've seen him over the last few years, he is a notoriously slow starter. So he had gotten called up early in the year, and, you know, rightfully so, he got sent down because he wasn't doing the job. And then this time of the year, you know, June, July, right up in there, he's going to get hot. And he got hot already this year, and he's done a great job so far for Bob Melvin and the troops. And, you know, I see him as a key part of our organization moving forward just because of what he brings to the table as far as speed, power, and can play multiple positions.
What do you think is his best defensive position?
I've always seen him at short.
Okay.
In the minor leagues, but he also does a real good job in center field. You know, the little that we saw last year when he was in center field. So, you know, I mean, me personally, it's like, you know, he's going to get a little bit better, a little bit better, a little bit better the more he plays at shortstop. But then again, if you need him to move in the outfield, he can.
Well, I got to ask you, man. Deuce is Wild with you and Eric Burns, one of my favorite pods out there, because you tell it like it is. And Burns just tees you up, and you just go in, whether it's the Cardinals of 1987. But my favorite, and I want you to just tell it like it is, because we're suckers for jerseys. I love jerseys. Love jerseys, especially the old school jerseys. But the All-Star game this year in Texas, what the hell was that, Will?
God.
And I heard your take on it. And it just, I mean, it was atrocious.
Oh, my God. So you just mentioned Burnsy and I, you know, podcast called No F*** and the Show's.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
We're both drinking, so we're half in the bag, and we're each other up and off on something, and I go off on something, have a ball with it, tell it like it is. I mean, bullshitting, it's just like it is. But, you know, the All-Star game jerseys were like a perfect one, because he's like, man, I actually don't mind him. And I go, that looks like baby puke right there, those freaking can things that they had up there. I said, they look terrible. Plus, on top of that, now everybody looks the same. So here you are, you're a fan, all right, and you're going to an All-Star game, and you see everybody in the same jerseys. Well, you don't know. Let's say if you're a Phillies fan, you don't know where Bryce Harper is. You know, if you're a Giants fan, you don't know where Logan Webb is, you know. And so I want to go back to the old school jerseys, which when you're a fan, you know where the hell your player is, and you pull for him and stuff like that. So,
Will, I'm looking at the game as a whole right now. And me and B talk about this all the time, and I'm always like, these arbitrary numbers that we throw on pitchers, for example, he's had 100 pitches, he's done. I'm like, well, wait a minute, not all 100-pitch outings are set up the same. What was his bullpen like in between starts? You know, was it all sliders? Was it all curveballs? Were there runners on base? You know, like, what's the score? Where's he at in the game? And, like, I just go, like, old school. There's a feel to it. There's some give and take. Is the guy sore today? You know what I mean? Like, all these little things. It drives me crazy the amount of times I see a pitcher humming, okay? And you yank him out of the game to bring in someone cold out of the pen, and the other dugout's going, thank you for taking that guy out. Like, that is my biggest beef with today's game. What's your biggest beef?
I totally agree. So, you know, my thing is, you watch and you pay attention to the game, all right? We just talked about that as far as, you know, hitting with runs and scoring position. The same thing as far as pitchers go. You know, if you got a guy, as you said, that's cruising right along, you know, and nobody's getting good swings off of him, why take him up to go to a guy bringing him out the pen? It might not be that guy, you know? And so for me personally, you know, the pitch counts, you know, we used to have guys go 120, 130 pitches, whatever it was, whatever it took, you know? And, you know, for me personally, these guys can do it, but they're trained nowadays, and especially, you know, coming up through high school, because I'm seeing it with these kids, you know, in the lower levels. Oh, he can only go 70 pitches. Oh, he can only go 80 pitches. That's bullshit. All right? Mason Black is a perfect example. You know, Mason Black was on a 70-pitch count, you know, in AAA. They call him up here to the major leagues. His first outing, Bob Melvin lets him go 84 pitches. So, you know, when you get to the major leagues, it's whatever you got in the tank, that's what you give me. And then you got 4 or 5 days to rest before you come back out here and do it again. So for me personally, the pitch count, you know, for all you young players out there, it's BS. It should not be paid attention to. It's how you're pitching that day.
Will, I love this. No, this, you're talking about like high school and college. My nephew, who's a very high level, played on the USA under 18 team, and he's a pitcher, and he's got this decision to make, like, do I go maybe at some point to the minors, or do I go Power 5? And his dad's like, yeah, we're going Power 5. I want to see him, because he's going to have a big workload, real weights, real training. You know, like, you're asking asked to do different things. He says he was looking at Kyle Harrison's, you know, game logs in the minors. He's going 2 and 3 innings. Like, that's not going to get him prepared for base, for real professional baseball.
That is correct. And that's exactly what I was telling you. You know, some of these guys, they don't get it. You know, when you get to the major leagues, it is a different animal. I mean, a big different animal at the major league level. You're going to be asked to do a lot of things that you've not been asked to do before. And they don't really care. They're like, no, this is what you get for, is to go out there and do it. And, you know, same thing as far as a position player goes. You got to get used to playing every day on 9 innings every day. And when you're gassed and you're mentally tired, all right, how do I push through it? How do I get to the next level? And that's why they call it the dog days of August, which is what we're in right now with the San Francisco Giants. But the great thing about the San Francisco Giants is, you know, with the exception of the Braves, who we just played, you know, we only got the Brewers at the end of the month. Other than that, we're playing below 500 teams. So these are the teams you need to beat up on right now.
Yeah, you got to get hot right now, because that September schedule will – you talk Brewers, Diamondbacks for 6, Padres for 6. You got the Cardinals, the hated St. Louis Cardinals. You don't play the Rockies no more, that's for sure. But you don't have the Dodgers as well. Real quick before we let you go, there's going to be a lot of energy in the ballpark. I don't know if you're going to go out there to Oakland for the weekend series between the Giants and A's, but what do you remember about that energy that the A's fans brought during that 89 World Series? Trust me, it's not a memory we all like. We don't like it, because I think if that earthquake doesn't interrupt the series, we may have a shot at winning that bad boy. But what do you remember about the energy the A's fans brought?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you know, not only did they bring it that year, I mean, they had been in the World Series the year before. So This was a 2-year stretch. The A's were on fire, you know, and so it was fun going to play when, you know, all the lights are on and everybody's going crazy. It's a lot of fun going out there and doing that. And put it this way, if you don't want to do it, you don't need to be a baseball player. And so for me personally, I loved it. I mean, I thought, hey, this is the way baseball is supposed to be played. So, you know, for me, you know, the A's back then, they did a fabulous job. You know, they had been, you know, like I said before, in the World Series the year before. Yep. And, you know, they were studs. So, you know, more power to them.
You know, I'm looking at this Giants team, and I tell B every day, I go, man, I get to see Matt Williams at third base. There's just something about seeing the Marine over there at third, wearing number 9. It just gets me in my feels. How do you think Bob Melvin's done this year in terms of just situational managing?
I think he's done a real good job, because, you know, not only has he hit the ground running, but he's starting to, you know, initiate and get, you know, kind of a new, you know, mindset going. And the mindset being, hey, boys, we're here to win. We're not here to do anything else but win. And so for me personally, I love Bob. I love what he has done, you know, to this organization so far. And I think it's only going to get better.
I can't wait. Let's see how the season ends, man. They got a shot here, but they got to get rolling real quick. We love the podcast with you and Eric Burns. I love the fact that you 5 days ago, I think you sent your highlights of you playing for Team USA at Dodger Stadium. You had some ridiculous day. I think you're like 3, 4 for 5 or something like that, hitting bobs, hitting in the gaps or whatnot, man. That's probably my favorite part of your Twitter account. You have no shame in resharing your highlights.
No, you get out there, and you let it fly. And, you know, there was no... reservations as to who the hell I was playing for. I was playing for that USA on my chest, and I loved it.
Who's your favorite player in the game right now?
You know what? I like him because he has such quality at bats, is Soto.
Soto.
You know, I like a guy that's going to go out there, and he's going to make the other guy, you know, earn every little thing that he has. So, I like Soto a lot. You know, there's some other guys that I really don't mind watching on an everyday basis. But then there's other guys that are real soft, and I know that for a fact. I can see it. I can feel it, and I'm like, ooh, I don't necessarily like that guy.
Well, I know you're not the biggest fan of Joey Gallo. You told us that a couple of years ago.
You got to hit the ball. You can't strike out all the time.
Thank you.
Batting 180 with 40 jacks. That's sickening, man.
How about Bobby Witt Jr.?
Yeah, hey, I'll take Bobby Witt Jr. You know, I mean, I'd, I knew Bobby from the time he was born, you know, because I played with his dad on the Olympic team, and I also played with his dad in Texas. And so I've been knowing Bobby since the day he was born, and, you know, just the pedigree he had, the athleticism he has. And, you know, he's definitely going to be a superstar for years to come.
Will, what can we sell to one of these big-time free agents to come here and play for the Giants? Because you got something cooking. You got a great fan base. I look, I don't know if you were in the recruiting pitch with Aaron Judge, but I thought they should have had him courtside at a Warriors game. Jesus. You get Will Clark. You get Kevin Mitchell. You get Barry Bonds. Hell, we'll come down with you.
And
we'll
sell him on the city of
San Francisco and give him $600 million. Who the hell cares? He's going to be printing money if he comes here.
Let me just tell you, all right? We made a good pitch to Judge. But there was no way we were going to get Judge, all right? Yeah. No way. Because how do you think the New York Yankees are going to look when you have your slugger breaks one of the all-time hallowed records of history and you let him go? Yeah. The New York Yankees are beating the media and the fans. So there was no way we were going to outbid New York. There was no way. Second off, as far as, you know, being a high-profile free agent, you know, one of the things about playing in Oracle, which nobody understands, and it's like Candlestick, right? Because the wind blew so much at Candlestick, you had to keep the ball down. You had to hit line drives, and then if you got up underneath it, all right, there's your homer. But in the meantime, you're going to be spanking stuff in the gaps and hitting double and triple. There's a reason they call it play out there. You got so much to get out there, all right? Plus, on top of that, this is the main difference in between Oracle and Candlestick. Is the ball goes out of left. There were days at Candlestick you couldn't hit a cannon out of left field. All right, and now you got a yard where the ball shoots out there. Well, I mean that should make for good hitting. You can go to right and hit a triple, or you can go to left and hit a homer. So I mean, you know that you know people don't want to come to Candlestick type of or excuse me Oracle. People don't want to come there. That's kind of a BS you know statement. It's hey, look, if you go out there, you do a good job of hitting, you'll be able to hit in that ballpark.
Will, always fun talking to you, man. I love the podcast with you and Bergie when you got the yak there just telling stories, old baseball stories. We can listen to it all day. Thanks for the time today, Will.
Hey, guys, y'all have a great one. I enjoyed the interview. Thanks.
I love
anytime.
It.
Will Clark. Will Clark here on the Morning Rush on the River Islands. Dude. Guest line here. Will Clark, 6-time All-Star. Jersey retired. Wall of Fame member. Tells it like it is. Well, he got two BSs. Only two BS.
Who is the soft guy he's talking about?
Yeah,
he had someone in his mind.
Yeah, I wasn't.
He's soft and he knows it. And I know he's soft. I'm like, whoa.
I was going to prod him, but we don't need to get him in trouble. We don't want to put it.
I'll be fully candid here. Like, Kevin Mitchell was my guy. My dad loved Will Clark. Yeah. It's the way he played the game. And there are a ton of guys in their 40s, into their 50s. Like, it's the way he approached every single at bat, every single ground ball, every single throw over to first base, his whole, like, he was giving you everything he had. I love Will so much.
I love Kevin Mitchell, but I love Will.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.